This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Governor Rick Snyder admits the decision to switch the city of Flint from water supplied by Detroit over to the Flint River was not well planned. The city faces a crisis now that the water going into homes is contaminated by lead.
In terms of a mistake, what I would say is we found there are probably things that weren't as fully understood when that switch was made.
What was not fully understood is just how corrosive the Flint River's water is and that the switch would result in elevated lead levels. The governor says steps will be announced later this week to try to rectify the situation. Flint residents started complaining about the look, the taste, and the smell of their water almost as soon as the switch was made from Detroit water to Flint River water. And that is how my next guest came to be involved in the Flint water crisis. Mark Edwards is a professor of civil and environmental engineering at Virginia Tech. He's a nationally renowned expert on water treatment and corrosion. Mark Edwards, good to have you on Stateside.
Nice to be here.
I'd like to, if we could, retrace your steps for a bit here. Tell us how you and your team became involved in Flint and when.
We became involved when there was a case of a child with elevated blood lead or lead poisoning in Flint, who had no traditional source of lead exposure in the home other than lead in water. And we worked with the mother and a representative of the EPA to sample her house, and we found some of the most extraordinarily high lead levels that I have seen in 25 years of work in this field.
And from that?
What we discovered to our shock was that they switched to a new water source that was obviously very corrosive, meaning it would eat up the lead pipe and iron pipe and essentially put the metals into the water without controlling the corrosion. And this is a horrible idea in a city full of lead plumbing and lead pipe like Flint, where current estimates are that there's about 15,000 lead service lines.
And at about the same time, we know that University of Michigan Flint tested its water and found lead. And then, of course, now, you know, looking to just in the last week or so, Purley Medical Center pediatricians reporting high rates of lead in the blood of children in Flint. And that spike came after the switch to the Flint River. But with all of this, with your findings, what was the reaction when you brought this to the EPA and then to the state of Michigan?
Well, unfortunately, what happened was the foremost expert on the lead and copper rule in the United States, Miguel Del Toro, who was working with this resident and helping uncover the problems with the Flint corrosion control and the high lead in the water, he was suddenly not allowed to work on this problem anymore. At that point, we became involved because it was clear the agencies that have a mission of stopping this sort of thing from happening, keeping lead in water low, were not doing their job.
And by that, you mean the EPA and the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality.
First, the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality has what's called primacy, meaning they have responsibility to make sure that lead in Flint's water is low. And EPA should be overseeing MDQ.
And all along, the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality, all through these months this year, have maintained there's nothing wrong with Flint's water. And your new commentary on flintwaterstudy.org lays blame for the crisis squarely at the feet of the DEQ, and you have the FOIA documents to back up what you say. So I want to start with you with when the switch was made from Detroit water to the Flint River water. And to understand this, tell us about the Federal Lead and Copper Rule, the LCR.
Well, the Federal Lead and Copper Rule is designed to stop anything like this from ever happening again in the United States. Before you switch to a new water source, it's months to a year ahead of time, you are supposed to do laboratory experiments to determine the corrosivity of the water and the chemistry, the pH, the alkalinity, and the phosphate that you need to make sure that the lead stays on the pipes and out of the water. And this is what's called a corrosion control plan. You have to have this in place before you change to a new water source so that you're not doing an uncontrolled human experiment on a city's population. When you put the water source in, you're supposed to have the corrosion control, and you're supposed to monitor how effective that corrosion control is by sampling in consumers' homes. And in this case, there was no plan. There was no mention at any point about the potential danger of switching this water source to the population.
And when Mr. Del Toro asked the DEQ and asked the state, is Flint using corrosion control, what was the answer from the DEQ initially?
Initially, they said, yes, we have an optimized corrosion control plan, and the city is monitoring for its optimal chemical parameters, just like the lead and copper rule specifies. And so Mr. Del Toro went on his way, thinking that everything was okay.
And is there any possibility that something could have been misunderstood by the DEQ?
I don't see how. You can read the emails yourself.
They're there. But then there's further exchanges. And again, he presses the state, the EPA's Mr. Del Toro presses the state, asking what kind of control you're using. And then finally and ultimately, the DEQ admitted there was no corrosion control.
None.
What did you think when you heard that?
I was shocked. And I just assumed that once this had been brought to light, Mr. Del Toro sent a memo out outlining the hazardous waste levels of lead that were found in this resident's home in the case of lead poisoning and in the specific federal statute that the city of Flint was violating. I just assumed when I read that memo that there would be immediate action taken to correct this problem.
And?
And instead, suddenly Mr. Del Toro is no longer working on the Flint issue. MDEQ bragged about that to Flint residents. And so it was August that I received this distraught phone call pleading for us to help.
I find myself wondering why the EPA wouldn't act at once when that admission from the state came that there was no corrosion control, knowing it's the law.
You would have to ask the EPA that. I think in general the EPA is very reluctant to interfere with the primacy agency, but if there was ever a case where EPA should exert its emergency powers and take primacy away from an agency, this is it.
I'm talking with Mark Edwards of Virginia Tech. He's a professor of civil and environmental engineering and has been deeply involved in the Flint water crisis, discovering in some cases some astronomical amounts of lead, including in the home of one Leanne Walters. And the DEQ said it investigated her situation and that the cause, in their words, were due to lead sources in her plumbing. But why does that explanation not fly?
Well, because the plumbing materials in the Walters home had been stolen before they moved in, and they had replaced it with a plastic unleaded system. So I'm not sure where this DEQ employee got his information when he so-called investigated this case. He reported the results of his investigation, concluding it was lead from her plumbing to the EPA. But it was blatantly false, and if he had visited the home or talked to the homeowner, he would have known that.
I also want to get into the fact that the city is supposed to be under law testing water. Sampling is supposed to be happening. Tell us what happened with these federally required water sampling program. What happened?
Well, the first and most important step did not occur. The city is supposed to be sampling the highest risk, the worst case homes in the city, because if lead is high, you want to be able to find it and tell people so they can take steps to protect themselves. And unfortunately, they were not doing that. They were randomly sending bottles out. We have an email chain where city employees were asked to take bottles home and collect them for lead and copper rule monitoring without any regard to what plumbing they have. And as a result, there's many homes that are being sampled that don't have any lead plumbing at all. So this is missing the entire intent of the rule. You have to sample at specific sites. They did not do that, and that is the primary reason that they missed the worst of the lead problem. It goes beyond that.
Go ahead.
Well, even though they didn't sample the highest risk homes, in the samples that were collected by the city, they were still over the action level. So MDEQ, and I've never seen this in 25 years, took the initial report that the city gave and altered it, deleted samples with high lead, so that they were suddenly under the action level, overlooked many other violations of the federal lead and copper rule for sampling, and essentially turned an F grade for lead and water into an A grade.
And when people look at your commentary, the documents are there to show that this is indeed what happened.
Yes. The original documents came from an ACLU Michigan Freedom of Information Act request. And it's fascinating to check the origin of these documents because the revised document was created just one day before it was sent to the ACLU. is representing the official lead and copper rule report. The original document, which showed the F grade, was withheld. And it wasn't until we submitted a Freedom of Information Act request that we obtained that original document. It's up on our website.
You know, you have handled so many kinds of water investigations. And I'm wondering, do you know of a comparable city that went through this kind of a water source change? And if so, how was that change handled?
I don't think there's really a precedent for this type of change. In the last 25 years, I'm not aware of any city that changed its source water without having a corrosion control plan. Now, there have been cases where the plan didn't work as expected. But as we sit here today, Flint is the only city in the United States that has no plan to control lead corrosion in a city with 15,000 lead pipes. And this has been going on since April of 2014.
If Flint gets switched back to Detroit Water until that new Carignani Water Authority is up and running late next year, will the problem of lead leaching into the pipes be solved, or has the Flint River water fundamentally changed the chemistry in the pipes so the city will have to constantly monitor and fine-tune its corrosion control program?
If they were to change, based on our experience and experimentation, we think the lead levels would drop well below federal safety standards within about 1 month. Now, it is true that there's been very serious damage that's been done to the pipes in people's homes and the big water mains that distribute water throughout Flint, and that damage cannot be undone. The damage to children as a result of lead exposure cannot be undone, but the elevated lead in water can be reduced by the switch in the source.
But then once it does happen, the corrosion control program, it shouldn't stop.
You are not allowed to stop corrosion control. We have a federal lead and copper rule that since 1998 has required that every city have a corrosion control plan. So how on earth this was allowed to happen, or people believed it was okay for it to happen, I don't even know where to get started on that.
Wow. We're wondering, too, Mark, why did your Virginia Tech team have such different results in lead tests than the state?
Well, actually, they're not that much different, because when we found the original lead and copper rule report, they failed the lead and copper rule, even when they didn't sample in high-risk homes. So, you know, what the difference is we didn't take the high lead results and cover them up.
How would you characterize the way that the state has handled this entire situation in Flint?
It's possible that they didn't understand the federal rule. And if you go ahead to the time in early 2015 when they started hearing about high lead in water, and certainly by the time they found high lead in the resident's home, they should have acted decisively, even if they didn't understand the law, to fix that problem. And instead, what they did is they took action after action to cover this problem up and essentially leave Flint residents in harm's way. So at some point, what might be attributed to an honest, perhaps innocent mistake, it changed into something completely different.
What are your biggest concerns, Mark, for those Flint residents? You've gotten to know some of them. You've heard their stories. What are your biggest concerns for those people that have that river water coming out of their taps right now?
Well, my biggest concerns have been alleviated since the advisories have been put out, because people now have the information that they need to protect themselves. So they can buy lead filters, they can flush the water, they can miss the worst of this harm. And you can, it's not the best situation, but you can learn to live with lead in the water. The big problem is not knowing that you have high lead in the water, because you cannot protect yourself. So I think that my biggest concern has passed, because people now have this essential information. There are other problems with the system. The pipes are being eaten up by this corrosive water. There's red water. There's perhaps too many bacteria in the water. But I think the work at Hurley and done by the very capable local public health officials has eased my mind. I mean, when that advisory came out, this is the first time I've been able to sleep since I heard about this problem.
You know, you start your commentary, Mark, with quoting MDEQ's communications director, Brad Werfel, a letter that he wrote to the Flint Journal's Ronald Fonger. And he, among things, says this group, meaning you, specializes in looking for high lead problems. They pull that rabbit out of that hat everywhere they go. No one should be surprised when the rabbit comes out of the hat, even if they can't figure out how it's done. If you could ask a question to Brad Werfel right now, what would it be?
Why weren't they doing their job and try to find this problem with high lead and water? The lead and copper rule requires that MDEQ and the city of Flint specialize in finding lead problems in water. That's what the sampling program is designed to do. So why weren't they doing that?
Mark Edwards, a professor of civil and environmental engineering at Virginia Tech. He is a nationally renowned expert on water treatment and corrosion. Mark, we want to thank you so much for talking with us today on Stateside.
Appreciate it. Take care.
Stateside has placed a request to speak with someone from the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. They were unable to make anyone available by showtime today. Our invitation remains open, and we certainly hope to be able to speak with the DEQ next week.